Devaki, Tulasi Devaki, Samaveta Bhakti Devaki, Jayata Gopa Devaki. All glorious to some of those things, all glorious to some of those things, all glorious to some of those things, all glorious to Guru Shidoka, all glorious to some.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Maturayam Tatha Vajram Surasena Patim Tatha Prajapatyam Nirupyeshtim Admin Apivad Ishvara Mathurayam Tatha Vajram Surasena Patim Tatha Prajapatyam Nirupyeshtim Agnim Abhivarishvara Mathurayam Tatha Vajram Surasena Patim Tatha Prajapatyam Nirupyeshtim Agnim Adivarishvara Mathurayam Tatha Vajram Surasena Patim Tatha Prajapatyam Nirupyeshtim Agnim Abhivarishvara
Amen.
Surasenas. Tatha, thereafter. Prajapatyam.
Prajapatya sacrifice.
Nirupya,
having performed.
Ishtim,
goal.
Agnim,
fire.
Abhiva,
placed in himself.
Ishvara,
capable.
Then he posted Vajra,
the son of Aniruddha,
grandson of Lord Krishna,
at Mathura
as the king of Surasena.
Afterwards,
Maharaj Yudhishthira
performed a Prajapatya
sacrifice
and placed in himself
the fire for
quitting household life.
Purport.
Maharaj
Yudhishthira,
after placing
Maharaj Pariksit
on the imperial throne
of Hastinapura,
and after
posting Vajra,
the great grandson
of Lord Krishna,
as the king
of Mathura,
accepted
the renounced order
of life.
The systems
of four orders of
life and four
castes in terms of
quality and work,
known as
Varnashrama
Dharma,
is the beginning
of real human life.
And
Maharaj Yudhishthira,
as the protector
of the system of human
activities,
timely
retired from active
life as a sannyasi,
handing
over the charge of
the administration
to a trained
prince,
Maharaj
Pariksit.
The scientific
system
of Varnashram
Dharma
divides the
human life into
four divisions
of occupation
and four
orders of life.
The four
orders of life as
Brahmachari,
Grihastha,
Vanaprastha,
and Sannyasi
are
to be followed
by all,
irrespective
of the occupational
division.
Modern
politicians do not
wish to retire from
active life,
even if they are
old enough.
But
Yudhishthira
Maharaj,
as an ideal king,
voluntarily
retired
from active
administrative life
to prepare
himself for the
next life.
Everyone's
life must be so
arranged that the
last stage of life,
say at least
the last
15 to 20 years
prior to death,
can be
absolutely devoted
to the devotional
service of the Lord
to attain
the highest perfection
of life.
It is really
foolishness to engage
oneself
all the days of
one's life in
material enjoyment
and fruitive
activities,
because as long
as the mind remains
absorbed in
fruitive work
for material
enjoyment,
there's no chance
of getting out
from conditioned life
or material
bondage.
No one should
follow the suicidal
policy of
neglecting one's
supreme task of
attaining the highest
perfection of life,
namely going back
home, back to
Godhead.
So here is one of these verses where Prabhupada mentions that human life begins with varnashrama. So that can be understood is that it's something that Prabhupada wanted. This varnashrama was something that he was expecting would happen. It's not that this is not for devotees, as some would profess. So we're above these things. That's all right if you're Uttamadikari. So Uttamadikari can say, we are above these things, we don't care for the rules. Anyone less than that is conditioned. And you have two main categories of conditioned state. Human, who follows varnashram, and animal, who doesn't. But since we're referring to those in a human form, then generally the terminology used by the scripture is tribal. So one can know that the great personalities of all these first world countries and second and third world countries around the world, they are tribals. Sophisticated, intelligent, active, but tribals nonetheless. Until one takes up varnashram, one's an animal. But the glory of devotional service is even animals can take part, so one doesn't have to worry. And so that is the good thing about it. Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many examples of animals, trees, going back to Godhead. So it's not a problem. But it should be noted that here, this is not an obscure verse. Just Prabhupada mentions this. And if one actually looks objectively, you will find a lot of verses. You probably find thousands. A verse where Prabhupada talks about varnashram. And strangely enough, he followed it. But now the difference here is how the Vaishnavas follow varnashram. What is their purpose in following varnashram? That's the difference. That's what makes the difference between the devotees and the non-devotees. The non-devotees, then, it is a progression for the purpose of development of piety. And by this piety, one can enjoy in this life and in future lives. That is their purpose. Even the impersonalists, their purpose is enjoyment. Right? They want to taste the ananda of impersonal Brahman. So their goal is actually fruit, but they're still fruit of workers, though their method is through jnana. They know if they add jnana to their fruit of activities, they'll get liberation. They're intelligent like that. But they're still interested in fruit of results. Not of the material world, but the happiness for themselves. They're still self-centered. So then, the devotees then see that getting out of the material world, going back to Godhead, is the goal. To do that, one must detach oneself from material life. Then one is properly situated. So, therefore, then these orders of life receive their status. Because status is very important nowadays, I have noticed. Somebody gives a class because of status. Somebody wants to give a class because of status. It doesn't seem to have anything to do anymore with Bhagavad Katha, you know, discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the association of devotees, but that's what's going on. Someone has something to say, they speak. Someone who doesn't, doesn't speak. It's a matter of status, reading a kirtan, giving a class. These are all status. But unfortunately, that's not how Prabhupada established the devotional culture. These are elements of devotional service. Of course, within varnashram, the idea is who is qualified to do what activity. They do that. They focus, they concentrate. You focus on something. Let us say, you can't do business in 5 minutes a day. if you focus 8 hours a day, you have some business. Same with administration. 5 minutes won't do it. You have the 1 minute manager. Yes, that's great. But that 1 minute manager is spending 8 to 12 hours a day managing. He just has a technique of efficiently doing some management, so within 1 minute, he's doing some management. He didn't manage his business or his whatever in 1 minute. It just sounds good. If you're going to teach, you have to study. So that means it takes all day. If you're going to be engaged in the arts, it's an all-day endeavor. So it would be foolish to say everybody should do everything. It would be foolish. You know, everybody is one. It would be foolish. It's professed in the New Age world, but who runs the New Age world doesn't profess that. That is also should be noted. But there's a very large disparity between what devotees call the real world and what is the real world. The real world is actually very conservative, extremely. The people who run it, they know it works on certain eternal values. Maybe they can't fully describe that, they don't know where it's come from. But they know you do this, it works, because their parents did it, the parents before, it goes back generations. Those are the people who run the place. They've been in charge for generations. Hundreds of years. Okay. They have no, doubts about these things. Very conservative, doing things in ways they know work. You can't go against nature. Right. So that's what's actually going on, who is running the place. And then you have this thing to make everybody feel good, right? It's this social snake oil. Where you tell everyone, yes, yes, it's all nice, all you want to say, yeah, all great, you know, go for it. You can all enjoy it. Everyone has equal opportunity for explaining material energy and enjoying how much you like. Yes, that's where the equality is. You all have equal, but actually, who's got the money is and who doesn't have it. Who has knowledge is, who doesn't have knowledge is. So it doesn't exactly work out. It sounds good, because you don't want to make anybody feel bad. Right? Because people aren't trained or qualified enough to accept their natural place where they stand. I'm only so strong, so I can take as many steroids, pump as much iron as I want, take as much of those, you know, powdered, you know, supplements, and I'm still not going to be much stronger. I look a little better, but still, I'm not going to be much different, you know. Looks cool, but, you know, when push comes to shove, in this case, you won't be able to shove very much. You know, so people don't want to accept. You know, they just have to do it. You know, cosmetics, beauty things. You got wrinkles. You know, when you hit 30, you get gross feet. It's life. But no, you got to spend $80 on a little tube or something you can put on it for 4 hours. There won't be any wrinkles. Are you gone? You know. But if you accept these things, we don't have to worry about it. We don't waste our time. So the Vedic idea is people who specialize. They won't say, yes, no, anybody can do it, because nobody does it. Right? Before New Age came along, then there was always that thing. You see, I see it so many places. And where do I see it? I always see it at business people's office. You know, that one, I don't remember how it goes, but basically it means, somebody needed to do it, anybody could do it, but nobody did it. Right? I think it's got a few more body things in there. So it's a basic thing. You see, you call together a meeting, everybody wants to come, everybody demands to be there, everybody's senior, everybody's got something to say, they make all kinds of discussion, maybe they'll get to a resolution, and afterwards, has anything happened? No. Why? Because no one is taking any responsibility. If someone takes responsibility, something gets done. That's what God gave. Management means someone takes responsibility, something gets done. You don't take responsibility, it doesn't get done. So this is an example of just because everybody says doesn't mean it's reality. So reality is given by God. Reality doesn't come from the material existence. And even if we did say, yes, it's the reality of the tribals. Know that. It's the reality of the tribals. And the Vedic system, the tribals get their things from the Vedic culture. The tribals watch the great kings and other great personalities and imbibe from them something and use it in their life. Right? You go to the tribals here in the village out, and you know, they wear simple dress, you know, their interactions with their families, and it's a lot closer to the Vedic system now because they're too poor to try to emulate the West. So they would get it from there. It'd be similar, but there would be something lacking. So they would be appreciative of the Vedic culture. So this is the principle, appreciative of something higher. So now, what is higher in the Vedic culture? In the Vedic culture, then, we see is that there's this strange thing of going towards renunciation in the ashram and going towards knowledge in the occupation. So then if one thinks about it, then detachment and knowledge might be thought to be something important. As we see in Bhagavatam, by performance of devotional service, it says that knowledge and detachment are automatic byproducts. Right? First chapter of the Bhagavatam. So this is important, because that is the culmination of it. So that proves bhakti is the best. Bhakti is the best because by doing it, already what comes from Varnashram, you're gaining the topmost aspect, knowledge and detachment. These are important. So knowledge and detachment are important. Now, why are they important? They're not important because, you know, just people can't get it together, or because they want to harass or get disturbed. It's important because the material world ultimately is not worth being attached to. Krishna is. So we say detachment. That means detached from the material world. Then because we're devotees, that means attached to Krishna. Right? If you're going to be attached to Krishna, you have to be detached from the material world. Then knowledge means we have to have knowledge that there's a difference between matter and spirit. This is, no, we have to know that this is Krishna, this is mine. We understand that, then it works very nicely. Otherwise, we'll get stuck. We won't be able to tell the difference. So therefore, in this, then we see that within Varnashram, there is specialization within that. And at the same time, everyone's gaining. The brahmachari is trying to gain knowledge. Right? Then he will use that in his occupation. So knowledge is the first place you start. Then that develops. But then knowledge is clear when there's detachment. Otherwise, knowledge becomes clouded by attachment. Unless it's attachment to Krishna. Then it's very clear. The gopis with their simple girls living in the village look very attached. But because they're attached to Krishna, they have the most clear vision about what is good and what's not. If it pleases Krishna, it's good. If it doesn't please Krishna, it's not good. Very simple. So the Varnashram's idea is respect is given because of in being more and more close to getting out of the material world. Right? That's the thing. The brahmachari is learning knowledge, but the grihastha has knowledge, therefore he's superior. Right? He's applying the knowledge. Knowledge is great, but unless it's applied, it's not very special. Grihastha applies the knowledge, that's why they're better. But at the same time, they're applying the knowledge within the field of the senses. Well, the Vanaprastha now is applying it in the field of the senses, but instead of cultivating the senses, they're detaching themselves from the senses. Therefore, the Vanaprastha is better than the Sannyasa, than the Grihastha. Sannyasa means they don't work within the realm of the senses anymore. that's not the focus. The focus is more on disseminating the knowledge. So then we get back up to that applied knowledge again. Then the artist has knowledge and they're active, so that's good. But you can't be active without money. And you can't have money without protection. And you can't have protection or administration without the understanding of the Shastra. So you won't know actually how it functions. So therefore, the hierarchy is there. So this is the method. So it's only in practical application of the social values that the Varnashram hierarchy functions in this way. It's just the way it works. You know, the higher people of the business can't be telling the boss what to do. The boss tells them what to do. That's just the way it works. The business people in the community can't be telling the king what to do. The king tells them what to do. The kings don't tell the brahmins what to do. The brahmins tell the kings what to do. Just the way it works. Because that's how it mechanically functions. You can try it in another way. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So now in here we see an interesting point is that these four ashrams, Prabhupada is saying, is for everyone. So then one would say, well, that's different from some other definitions of varnashram, where it said that depending upon the varna, then you place yourself in ashram. Because sometimes we see, you know, it's Prabhupada mentioned, varna first, then ashram. Because depending on the varna, then you have the ashram. Of course, some interpret varna first until you've established the varnas, no use worrying with ashrams. Strange that Prabhupada seemed to have done it the other way around. He had four ashrams in the temple way before the introduction of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. He started with Brahmins and the four orders. And that was the social system. Then in 75 he started, now we have to establish Varnashram. Though he had already established the Brahminical order and the four ashrams. But it meant devotees were able to fulfill their material needs, so therefore, okay, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras, let's go for it. So it was basically a pancharatric form of Varnashram. So in here then, Varna is looked at because that will nicely situate you in the ashram where you need to be. But Prabhupada's mentioning everybody must go through this. Now one could look at this, now is the form of it the most important aspect? Is the form the most important, right? Growth comes from subtle, so if there's no subtle, technically there is no gross. Right? You have a lady, she has a child, she doesn't take care of the child, but will you call her a mother? You can technically say yes, she's a mother because it's a child, but will anybody say socially, yes, here is a mother, here is someone's example of motherhood? No. So the mentality is not there, so you don't really call her a mother. Technically she's a mother, but she's not really a mother. So in the same way, the Varnashram system has its external form and the rules that go with it. But if it doesn't have the mood, then it's not really that. Right? Like how many times you've heard, nowadays not so much because Varnashram is not popular. It's, according to Vox Populi, it's kind of a dirty word. And especially to mention Varnas, right? Don't be Vaishyas. No, I can't say that. You can say a business person or an administrator, but you can't say Vaishyas. They're synonyms, but, you know, the English language is it's a very limited language. You can't do much with it, you know, especially within politically correctness. It's a very limited vocabulary. It fits on a few pages, and unfortunately they republish this dictionary every few days, you know. It's technically called Newspeak. But whatever. So then, this you do that like before you hit somebody, they're rough, they're tough, they get angry easily, they like to punch people up, you call them in whenever someone comes and bothers at the temple. And those are called Kshatriyas, right? And so, of course, these guys are always talking about, well, Kshatriyas, you know, it says that the Kshatriyas can drink and womanize, you know, I mean, but how come we can't? But if you really look into it, so many would consider, yes, this is the Kshatriya. But according to the Vedic culture, this is called a Shudra, who assists Kshatriyas. Right? They're called a policeman. A policeman is a Shudra, because he works for the government. An officer of the police force, that you might consider has a Kshatriya nature. But the common policeman, that is his art, is the martial art. So that's why it's called art. It's a martial, it's an art, a martial art. Right? So that's the thing. It's not actually. Like the foot soldiers on the battlefield who shake, those are not Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are on the elephants, or they're on the chariots. The people on the horses and on foot, those are Shudras. But they're Kshatriya Shudras. Right? Kshatriyas also have another group of Shudras called bureaucrats. They sit in the office and they're secretaries because they've been very intelligent. It doesn't mean they're not qualified. An artist is qualified. They're Shudras. So, therefore, the form of it has to have the mentality. So, therefore, how do you tell the difference? One's out there with the sword in hand, the other's out there. One's called a Kshatriya, one's called a Shudra. Because the Shudra, his thing is fighting. The Kshatriya, his thing is protection. Right? That's the difference. The Kshatriya is having the battle because somehow or another his citizens are in jeopardy. So the neighboring king is creating a problem, therefore to protect his citizens, he wages war so that the problem will be solved and he can establish security in his kingdom. That's what he's doing. The Shudra's out there because that's his job. He gets paid, he sits in the barracks, he gets, you know, paid very well, he's a very comfortable life, and when he's called on, he goes out there and fights. So that's his thing. His thing, he's on the battlefield to make sure he doesn't get killed and to kill as many other people as he can. That's what he's doing. And he's doing it to please the king. Very different mentality. Like that. So that's where we're taking the common thing of fighting, but there's orders difference. Let's take something more close, a landlord. A landlord, he has big lands, he holds court every day, all the villages under him, anyone has a problem, they come to him. He has an army that protects and sees that, you know, dacoits and others don't come. He maintains law and order in his area. He's a vaishya, but he's a king amongst vaishyas. So why is he a vaishya and the king is a king? Simple difference. The king is taking taxes so he can protect the kingdom. The vaishya is protecting the kingdom so he can take taxes. You understand? That's how you tell the difference. What is their purpose? Why are they doing what they're doing? They'll have a different goal. That's the thing. You want to paint a picture. The artist is doing it to express themselves. The vaishya is doing it because it makes money or some prestige. The king is doing it because this is the religious duty. The Brahmin is doing it because this is what the shastras say. This is the correct thing to do. So there's a difference. So that means mechanically when you're going to run society, you have to have these differences, otherwise it doesn't work. You have a knife, you have a cauliflower, and you have a wooden it would be stupid to say, oh no, they're all equal, anybody can do. The board would like to cut the power out today. You know, why would the knife? You know, but you, we hear this day in and day out. So it's just as foolish. The comment can only be made by someone who doesn't know the science of how the world works. So the knife, that's the cauliflower. The knife goes on top of the cauliflower. The cauliflower goes on top of the board. That's the system. That's the science. Now, there's a reason for that. Knife needs to be able to exert pressure, right? By your force, then, you know, Newton's third law, right? So that means it has to have some leverage. It has to go against the board. Otherwise, if you put the cauliflower and push it with the knife, the cauliflower moves. Right? Unless you're very quick. That is, of course, a way you could take the cauliflower, toss it up in the air, take your knife, and, you know, cut it down. It would work. You know, and I'm sure after some time you get quite good at it. You know, he definitely would be, how you say, sensational for, let's say, if you're running a restaurant or something. You know, you could have a glass area there, everyone sits around and watches while the chef cuts all the cauliflowers. You know, definitely when people would come to the restaurant, pay money. But for most people, then the board, so you get the pressure by the resistance. Right? So, like that. So that's the science. So that's why then the Varnashram has a particular order of interaction. That's one, that's just the practical. When we talk the real world to the Varnashram is the real world. There is no other real world. Prabhupada says the Western countries are still following Varnashram, but unscientifically. They don't know. And the areas where it's unscientific, that's where it falls apart. In the areas where they are following it, that's where it works. It's that simple. Right? Those who sing and say don't follow, they only get results where they do follow. Because it's a science, it won't work otherwise. It can't work. So okay, so Bhagavad's essence is, okay, now we get there, everyone has to follow, but now the form of it may or may not always apply. May or may not always be ideal. So then, oh, that's what we're doing. We're establishing that it's the mood that's most important, and understanding the science of it. So now Krishna, in the key is there in the end of the Gita, in the first verse of the 18th chapter, where Krishna describes renunciation and sannyas. This is a very important key. Sannyas means not performing an activity that will give a fruitive result. Renunciation means giving up a fruitive result. Right? So, most living entities perform an activity feeling that they are doing it, therefore the result of it is their right. Then, because they are pious or Krishna conscious or whatever motive, they give up a portion or all of that result. That's called renunciation. But sannyas means the activity was never performed that gained the material result. So now this is misinterpreted by the impersonalists to mean they don't do an activity. Right? So that's one way of interpreting it. Therefore, the form is more important than the mood of it. Then you have the smart people follow the Varnashram because that's exactly what does it mechanically works. But actually, it's the mood. As we described before, you have the mood, you have the varna. You don't have the mood, you don't have the varna. Same with the ashram. You have the right mood, you have the ashram. You don't have the right mood, you don't have the right ashram. It's just, that's the way it works. So, therefore we see the mood is more important than the form. So even though the form may be the perfect form, but still the mood is more important than that. So what we see is that if you perform the activity without the desire for the result for yourself, but it's for Krishna, then you are performing work as a sannyasi. This is a very important element of how the Varnashram system actually works in its gaining its connection to Krishna. Right? Because the neophyte will be performing the activity for the result and giving that to Krishna. They may also be doing it just for Krishna, but the general case is they will do it because it's their attachment. It's their conditioned nature. Therefore, they're inspired to do that activity because the result they'll get. But they want to share that with Krishna or give it to Krishna. The madhyama means that they have to be performing work without fruit or result. Their performance of the activity is only to please Krishna. Therefore, they're called pure devotees. So that is sannyas. It doesn't matter what ashram or varna there, it's sannyas. So Prabhupada's mentioning everybody must go through these stages. Right? Everybody must learn about Krishna and the process of devotional service and how, what is their conditioned nature, how to engage in Krishna service. Two, they must do it. They must apply it. They must apply the skills and knowledge that they know in Krishna's service. Right. Are we catching that? The first one was replicating the Brahmacharya, the second is replicating the Grihastha. The third is, now we start to pull out that, okay, I've been doing this because I have this knowledge and I want that result, and I'm doing it for Krishna in Krishna's way. But now I'm going to start to pull out my needs in it and just need Krishna's. That's the Vanapras. Sannyas means that's successful. So every devotee has to go through this. It's not a matter of ifs, ands, or buts. You want to go back to Godhead, you have to do it. We have to get to the point that what we're doing is simply to please Krishna. Right? Previous verse when it's mentioning, when Kunti overheard what Arjuna was saying about Krishna's departure, she took up full-time devotional service, right? She stopped all her other things. She just was engaged in Krishna's service. So being engaged in Krishna's service fully, that's the key. Then you go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says that's the passport. So fully engaged means body, mind, and words. The body is doing it, great. The mind is doing it, that's what's necessary. The words are doing it means that's your senses. Right? When we see body, mind, words, words includes the senses. That means your intelligence and your senses. Right? Because words are voice, that's one of the working senses. So of all the senses, you can tell where someone's at by that one. Right? You can't tell what they're seeing, what they're hearing, what they're... You can't tell what it is that they perceive. But when they speak, you understand who they are. So therefore, that's why that one is pulled out of the ten. Does that make sense? Your five knowledge acquiring, your five... working senses. That one you can tell where someone's at. Therefore, if that one's engaged, that means all the other ones are engaged. Does that make some sense? So that means so body, mind, and words. Words means the senses, the intelligence. Body means the physical, the activities, the form of it. And mind means what is your goal? Why are you doing something? The mind accepts and rejects. If it accepts something, it gets a result it wants, and rejects something, it doesn't get a result it wants. So if the mind's engaged, that's where sakam or nishkam is found. You're either doing it for a purpose, prove it a purpose or not, it's on the platform of the mind. Intelligence will tell you, this is nishkamya, this is sakamya. But it's only the mind accepting it, that's where it actually happens. Right? So fully engaged body, mind, and words means one's on the path of Naishkarma. One is a Madhya, at least, if not an Uttama. So that person, it doesn't matter what ashram or what varna they're in, that's sannyas. So therefore, the external form of sannyas may or may not be favorable, but this form, everybody can do, and is expected to do. Because the devotees are intelligent. Right? Everybody can do it. There's even one promise describing the husband and wife in purporting Puranjana, when he becomes Queen Vidarbhi, and then Malayadwaj, her husband, leaves, and she starts the funeral pyre. Then, in that purport, then he explains about the husband and wife as Paramahamsa. Because whatever they're doing is only to please Krishna. So this is where, if you want to be liberal and apply, that the person who says, oh, we're above Maharaj, we don't care for the rules, if they actually knew what they were talking about, this might be what they're talking about. But if they're not applying it like this, it means they don't know what they're talking about. Because they're talking about the form, the body part. But we have the mind and intelligence part also. That they're not catching. So you can see that it's an important thing. Otherwise, Prabhupada wouldn't be mentioning it. But the caveat is there that if it's not connected to Krishna, it's useless. So in other words, the form of anashram is human social form. But of that, it's only really useful as devotees if the proper attitude is there. Therefore, the subtle body has to be involved. So you have the proper attitude and know how that element of varnashram actually fits in the society it interacts. What is the social body? How are we part of the social body? And that also is useless because it's still material if it's not connected to Krishna. That's the devotional element that is done for Krishna. Then it doesn't matter what varna ashram you're in. It works. This is the thing. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his treatise on Brahman and Vaishnava, and we see he glorifies the Brahmins because it is true, that is the top of society. But then he goes on to show that Vaishnava is higher than that. Because Vaishnava is understood. So this is the subtle overlap. There's an overlap here that we have to invoke the Achinta Vedanta Tattva philosophy. Simultaneously one and different. It's a problem. It's not cut and dry. Very easy, you can stick in little boxes and, you know, tape it up, ship it off, like that. It's overlaps. And it, many times, it's overlapped fully. In fact, our approach to all these activities and bodies of knowledge, it is only one. It's all Krishna. Right? Varnashram is Krishna's universal form. That's where it comes from. The Purusha Shukta, which the Veda is based on, describes how the Lord, Bhagavad-Gita Vishnu, was then, through the mental sacrifice of the sages, one of the things, byproducts of that, was Varnashram. Right? His mouth became the Brahmins, his arms the Kshatriyas, his waist the Vaishyas, his legs the Shudras. So it is Krishna. Right? So we don't make a distinction between Krishna, you know, his head is better than his feet. But the head, you put the turban on, and the feet, you put, you know, the ankle bells. So there is a difference in the form of application, of interaction, of relationship. But otherwise, one's not better than the other. This is a subtle point, because we're used to this very cut and dry, I am in a higher position than the other, and therefore I can go to know it, because that's the purpose of social status, is to lord over, to control, to enjoy. But we're being asked to look at varnasha not from that angle. It's not a matter of who's in charge, so who's in control, so and who's the enjoyer. No. It's from what are my who am I in this system? What are my duties? And what is my obligation to other people? That is what is there. That's the what is required. So we're taking the same body of knowledge, and depending upon what we're looking at it with, then it will emphasize that. Otherwise, the tendency is we'll go, okay, bhakti, so that excludes the others. That's a mistake. The term of the analogy of the yoga ladder is there because that means what is the emphasis at the time. The bhakti doesn't exclude karma and jnana. Right? Karma means activity, jnana means knowledge. So are we supposed to perform devotion without any activity and no knowledge? We're just supposed to sit there and sentiment, you know, like that. Evoke our sentiment, and that's bhakti. No, we do an activity and we do it with knowledge. So is karma and jnana included? But because the emphasis is on bhakti, that's actually the purpose, therefore then those two get absorbed in there. You drop the bhakti, then you just have jnana. Right? Then it's on its own. Then it's isolated in the box. Because the jnana doesn't do an activity, and he has no devotion. The karma doesn't have full knowledge, and he doesn't have any devotion. Right? Of course, we want to really analyze this a little bit with each other, but it's not clear. It's like mode of goodness is not pure goodness. It's got so many other modes. So each, but it's predominant enough that you call it goodness. Right? So in the same way as even within the devotional, it's predominantly bhakti, but it doesn't mean the other elements are not included. Because bhakti includes the other elements. They're coming from bhakti. Activity is only there to express devotion. Knowledge is there is only to express proper activity. But it's been separated from Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So bhakti means, since it's Krishna, it is contradictory. Krishna is contradictory. Because everything's in Krishna, that means everything is there. That means all opposites are in Krishna. So that's fair. So it's a very subtle point. Because it's different because it overlaps. We're taught in school, it's this or it's that. That is the weakness, you know. In the modern society, is that, you know, I don't know, I think it started in the 60s, right? Everything went in a little box and then little arrows and all that. Isn't that when it started, all that kind of graphs and diagrams? Maybe the 50s. But then the problem is people then think like that, because this one shouldn't have any of that element in it. Right? That's the problem with the problem thing. It's like that. Should be cleanly as that, men's cleanliness is clean. But it's the overlap, the connection. Otherwise that arrow, you have an arrow there, but there has to be something to connect them. Otherwise, why is there an arrow? So that arrow has qualities, but that's not described. You describe this box, you describe that box. No one describes the arrow. What it is, it's common. How does this box go to that box? That's not described. Therefore, we're at a disadvantage because we haven't grown up with the concept that sandhi or junction is important. How is it? What is the sandhi, right? The twilight, what is it? It has its own quality, but it has night and day in it. How is it functioning? It turns one into the other. So we don't know how to use two things at once and see how to move back and forth. You understand that suddenly you can move into the one or move into the other. And you can see the overlap. So it's something that's important for one's own intellectual development is to be able to accommodate the junction. Because everything has a junction. Everything, just like we have the inside and the outside, the window is the junction. It has a nature. You can deal with it in a certain way. You do it one way, it keeps the two close. Another way, it doesn't. So these are the things. So, I'm not sure. Not sure if this got across, so to try to... The point we're trying to make is that Baba's point here is that going back to Godhead is the perfect thing. Absorption in material life is not. Going back to Godhead means devotional service, but Baba always mentions this sticky thing of varnashram. So then that means the form of the varnashram is useful if it's connected to Krishna. And its connection to Krishna is going to go through its subtleties. The metaphysics means you go from gross to metaphysics to spiritual. Right? That's the thing. From Krishna expanding the subtle things, from the subtle thing to gross. Right? So, the whole varnashram system doesn't have any meaning unless it's connected to Krishna, but it won't be. If you can always just be absorbed in thinking of Krishna doing it that way, nice, that's great. You can bypass the whole metaphysical. Easy. Just like Krishna says, first option, just surrender to Him. Don't bother with anything else. Best. You can't do that. Follow the rules and regulations. Right? Can't do that. Just work. Right? So the first thing is that you can do that, great. But if you find that they're having a lot of economic and social and emotional difficulties in the interaction of devotees, that's because the metaphysics of the social system is not understood. Right? That's where the weakness is. So even if you increase the bhakti where it overwhelms it, you don't have to worry about it. Keep it simple. But if that's not your solution, you're talking various economic or social structures, then if you don't know the metaphysics of varnashram, you will fail. This is an absolute statement. I hate to make it, but it is. Because Krishna is absolute, then we can make it. You will fail. If you want to dabble in the material, you don't dabble in the materials Krishna gave it, you will fail. And it has failed all over the world. Every farm on the planet is not a community of Vaishnavas who are doing the job. It's city slickers who are sitting out in the country enjoying the suburban life. Or it's, you know, some residue hippies. You have one farmer on one farm, generally. And nobody listens to him because he's nuts, right? You know, he says he got to plant the potatoes right now. You know, but, you know, we got to discuss it. Do we even want to plant potatoes? You know, so after 2 weeks, we'll say, okay, you can plant the potatoes, and say, forget it, it's too late. And he's uncooperative. You know, he doesn't know how to work with the buildings. He's not a team member. So they failed. Look at it, realistically. Because the metaphysics of what's going on is not understood. So either you go to that just the devotion, or if you're going to use the material, then it better be used the way Krishna gave it. Because it won't work otherwise. So those are the two points, is that it only has meaning if it's connected to Krishna, and its real connection to Krishna is the mentality. The proper mentality of doing it to please Krishna, that's actually what the whole varnashram is for. It's simply 8 options in which you can practice doing that simply to please Krishna. Your body of your field is knowledge, but you're doing that only to please Krishna. Or administration, but you're administrating because it's Krishna's place to administrate. Or you're making money because we need money for Krishna consciousness. Or it's the art, yes, we're doing it to express something for Krishna. So in other words, the whole system is meant that everybody should become sannyas. That's what it's for. Or as a student, you're studying for Krishna, or you're doing activities for Krishna, or you're pulling out of the social system for Krishna, or you're detached. That's what it's for, that's the goal. Okay, so, any questions or comments for this morning? Personally engaged in fighting, yes. For? Okay, the Kshatriya, that means the Pandavas are fighting. They're engaged in fighting, yeah. So what varna is that? They're Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas also fight, but it's an art. But that's not their occupation. See, a Kshatriya, he's administrating the kingdom. To do that, dana, sana, dana, veda, dana. Dana is one of the aspects of politics. So if they need to use it to protect the kingdom, they use it, but that's not their full thing. But a soldier, all he does is fight. That is his occupation. Well, fighting is not the occupation of... So if you're a bodyguard or a bouncer, then it's your fighting is your occupation. You are a shudra. Because you got to work for somebody else, right? You got to guard somebody else. You have to guard somebody's door or somebody's body. So you're working for your shudra. But the arts are used by everybody. Everything has an art. Just like... You take medicine, the science is knowing what is the disease and what herb or a mineral or poison counters that disease. That's the science. Then how you actually physically go up and pick the leaf off the plant, that's an art. How you grind that leaf and mix it with others, the way you're mixing it, that's an art. How you administer it to the patient. You know, that you put it in this or that. That's the art. So even the doctor who's a Brahmin, he still has to use the art. Everybody has to use the art. You know, just like you're speaking here, there's an art of speaking. Like that though, the point is to get across knowledge, you're teaching. So the teacher uses the art of speaking. So the arts you can't separate. Like that. That's why they're included as the subsections of the Upavedas. Right? You have the four Vedas, then you have the four Upavedas. They're expansions of the 64 arts. Right? So art is always there, but when your art is your occupation, you're a shudra. But when the science, application of the science is your occupation, you're a dvija. Right? Because he could get someone else to fight. Like Yudhishthira is not the first one to fight. The king is back. He's protected. Everybody else goes out and fights. If need be, he protects. He goes out and fights. Like we see all these stories. Shiva goes. All the demigods go. All the demigods, they fight and everything. And then when at last it's not working, then Shiva comes out. Well, why are the top goes out when you have the ones below? Unless you've defeated the lower, why are you higher? That's why Jiva Goswami made the point to that pundit. How you can say you've defeated Rupa Goswami when you haven't defeated me, who is a servant? So argue with me. If you can defeat me, then we can accept you defeated Rupa Goswami. Because that's how it starts. You start down. Prabhupada will give the lectures, right? Now at the Panda, Prabhupada will have others speak. He would speak last. Right? So you have the brahmachari speak, you have the women speak, then you have the sannyasi speak, then he'd speak. Because that was the hierarchy. So there's always that at last. So just because he's using the art of fighting doesn't make him a shudra. Because everything's an art. You know, how you put on the dhoti is an art. But then you're putting on the dhoti, that's according to shastra, that's dharma shastra. Right? Like that. So therefore that's the reason we're doing it. But to do it with an art, you know. You brush your teeth because Shastra says you should do that. So you're a religious person, but how you hold the brush and how you brush it, do it, use it in the mouth, that's an art. Like you see, the little kids aren't very good at it, so their art is not developed. The adults are better. Does that make some sense? So that is the subtlety between it. So we'll end the class here with a lady, and then if anyone wants it. What we mean by the form of sannyas may not be favorable. Okay, let's say an example here, just practically for yourself. No, so the question, if you hear the question is I made the point of the form of it and the form of it and the mood of it. The mood of it is more important, and of the mood, the devotional understanding doing for Krishna is the most important. So that may not necessarily match the external, because we're trying to get the sannyas. So let us say you have someone who's married, and they are able to see all the elements of their performance of their grihastha duties to please Krishna. They're not trying to get anything from it. So what is the need for them to accept the external form of sannyas, that their service is already going fine? Sannyas is for the external form of it when either there is no need for or there is no availability of proper external form of the grihastha ashram. You know what I'm saying? Means a person doesn't want to interact on certain levels with women, because there's no need for that. They don't have the emotional need for that. So then that sannyasa is better for them. They don't want to deal with much stuff. They want to keep life simple. So then that form of it, the form of renunciation is a better platform for them to perform their devotional activities from. Still within that, they have to be renounced for Krishna. They can also start off being attached to renunciation. You understand? It means, in other words, you have those who are attached to attachment and those who are attached to detachment. Both are attachments. One means you have more stuff and it's expanding. One, you have less stuff and you're trying to make a mess all the time. So, but both are attachments. But of the two, because the one is detached from material things, is considered higher because it's closer to being out of the material world, but it's still not out. Until you connect that detachment to Krishna, you're not out. But if you attach your attachment to Krishna, you're also out. But it's just which one you're more comfortable with. So you start off generally in that more comfortable from the neophyte platform. But just because you're in that doesn't mean that you don't mature to the marginal platform. So then we can't say it's okay, we can't make a rule that no one should become a marginal until they've, you know, finished their hospital life. No, they attain that at that point, then whatever they're doing, that's in a sannyas. But it doesn't mean it has the external form of it. Because the point is this, the husband can be nice to the wife, because that's the way Krishna arranged the relationship between man and woman. That's the way he's made it. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not like that. It's irreligious. It's sin. So because Krishna's made it like that, he does it because he's doing it for Krishna. The man didn't make the feminine nature. The woman didn't make the woman nature. No one made that. Krishna, it's already, it's Krishna's part of the universal form. And so, therefore, the jiva gets to take part in the pastime of the universal form with himself. And energy flows from male to female and back. That's how it works. From Krishna to his devotee, devotee back. So it works. So within the universal form, the energies are always flowing from male to female. So we want to be the male, we want to be the female, we can take part in that. And if we think we're going to do it our own way, we're sinful. So we should do it that therefore that has to deal in a proper, nice, gentle way. That's just the rule. He doesn't. It's nonsense. The wife has to be submissive. She's not. It's nonsense. She says, I'm not a woman. Yes, but you're in a woman's body. And it's Krishna's woman's body. And it's Krishna's woman's mind. And it's Krishna's woman's intelligence. And it's going to function like that till you're liberated. Nobody should know what's in the box. You want to use it in a different way. That's sin. So therefore, you do it the way Krishna is, but you're doing it without attachment. If you say, oh, I'm not in this body, it means you're attached to it. I'm attached in this body, I can do whatever I want. That's attached. That's sinful. That's trying. It's not bhavanashram. It's I'm in this body, therefore it has duties of things I can do, things I can't do. So I just do it. Why? Who said it like that? Krishna. Because it's Krishna's pastime. He has a spiritual pastime. Krishna is a man, he does certain things. He doesn't do certain things. The gopis do other things. Right? You know, it's just the way that Krishna doesn't wear a sari. He wears a dhoti. He goes out and wrestles with the cowherds. He doesn't wrestle with the cowherd girls. You know, there's a restriction. The girls serve, he sits and eats. You know, it's all these different things. It's the way he's set it up. So those are spiritual. That's reflected in the material world. So the material pastimes and form look the same as the spiritual. So it's his pastimes as Garbhodakshina Vishnu, as the universal form, the Virat Rup. So we get to take part. We take part properly, it works. We don't take part, it doesn't work. Everything goes to hell. So therefore, you'll see as the Madhyama follows, the Madhyama will be a better grihastha than any attached grihastha on the planet. Because they're doing it to please Krishna. Therefore, he's nice because it pleases Krishna. He's not being nice because he wants something out of the lady. And the lady's being nice because she wants something out of the man. That's for the neophytes. The Madhyama does it. And therefore, they have the nicest pleasure. That's what Prabhupada always talks about, husband and wife's companions. The wife is a counterpart. It's just like a reflection. It just works. That's what Prabhupada's given us, but we hate it. We don't want it. We want to do our own thing. We're opposed to it. We're animals. And we're going to fight it tooth and nail because we have our own idea. Grihastha should be the nicest, pleasantest thing around. But it's not because no one everyone refuses to follow it. What's the big deal? Okay, the guy says this, okay, we can discuss it. What's the big deal if the guy's nice? He has to be the big macho, tough. Animals. Macho is for animals. Dogs do it. See dogs come along, another dog, and you see me, they go up. Like that. That's where it's from. Macho means dog. And I say that to all the men who think that they're men. You know, but at the same time as independence and women do, they're also animals. They're animals. And no one can oppose this. So the point is it's Krishna's feminine nature, Krishna's masculine nature, you follow the way Krishna said, it works, it's nice, the interaction's great. It works in the bhagavatam. Why? Because they do what Krishna says. We don't do it, we don't will. We can simplify it, keep it as simple as possible, manifest as few of the masculine and feminine needs as possible, keep life simple, that's fine. Or we can make it as big as you. It doesn't matter because it's connected to Krishna. You know, you connect one thing to Krishna, 10 things to Krishna, it doesn't matter, it's all connected to Krishna. So that doesn't matter. You can expand it and contract it as much as you want. But if it's not done for Krishna, what's the use? So that's the thing. It works. So therefore, then as the grihasthas, the brahmacharis, as madhyamas, they're sannyasis. But the external form is not needed because it's there, it's comfortable. It's engaged in Krishna's service. What's the need to leave it? Right? Sannyas is important if it's a problem. The wife and family are not cooperative in their devotional service. Therefore, they believe. Or is the higher purpose that you could do so much more for the community of Vaishnavas by leaving the house and going out? Then it has some meaning. But much of that can be done even as one across. But whatever, if it just has to be seen what is good. So therefore it doesn't have to be. You know? There's no need. Because the external form has a nature and it doesn't need to. So someone can be in the house, they can be a vanaprastha like that, you know, retired from it, but still be in the house. But the mentality is that I'm connected to Krishna sannyasa, you're a sannyas. I mean, Prabhupada says here, he's calling, he took sannyas. But he and his brothers went to the forest with their wives. So that means, externally they were vanaprastha. But in actuality and mentality, they were sannyas. So sannyas must be accepted by everybody. If you want to get out of here, it has to be accepted. But the external form, this is where the difficulty comes in applying the Vaishnava culture. It's not clear to just do this, then that's it. Because it's the mentality we're trying to get out of. We're not trying to perfect material life. We're trying to perfect the material life on us is really easy. But we're trying to get out. Therefore, we're using varnasha to invoke the mentality. But we first invoke the subtle body. Like that. But because the subtle body in most cases is so polluted, therefore we invoke the spiritual. But as that comes, naturally become purified, at some point we have to invoke the subtle body. You know, otherwise if the devotee is doing his service and he's doing his sadhana. So he's thinking about Krishna and that and sadhana, and his body is doing all the activities of that plus all whatever he does during the day. But his mind and words aren't connected. Then we'll have a problem, and that's where our devotees run into. At the temple, they're great devotees. They're doing everything at the temple and connected to the temple only for Krishna. Right? And when they go home, where is it being done for Krishna? You know, as we discussed. Okay, you have that picture hanging on the wall. Why is it there? How is that pleasing Krishna? Why do you have pictures in the first place? Why do you use that frame? Why do you hang it there? Why is the wall painted that color or whatever else is there? Why do you even have walls? How is that for Krishna? We can say, yes, I chant japa for Krishna, I have beads for Krishna, I have my dhoti for Krishna, I offer raisins for Krishna, and we can go through all that. But as soon as we walk out of the door of the temple, then what do they walk into? Unless they're going out and doing a particular service. But when they walk home, they walk home. You know, and generally, at best, they're Hindus. Best. So then what are they walking into? So that's what I'm talking about. That twilight zone that the devotees refuse to acknowledge or address. It's their own private thing. Get me out and leave me alone. You know, they don't want you to enter into that. But that's the point. That is the place. I see it here, I see it in Chaupati, I see it in Vanda, I see it everywhere. We go to the temple, I think that's been devoted for 30 years. He's, you know, developed very nicely. His sadhana, his kirtans, his interaction with devotees. When he goes home, okay, it's prasad for Krishna. They have an altar that's for Krishna. And that's it. You can't explain to me why he's got a wall part of it. How does that for Krishna? It may be or may not be, explain it, and how it flees inside for Krishna. You know? So it's like, explain it, you know. How is it he never washes his feet after he goes in the bathroom? His whole house is contaminated. You know, that's for Krishna, right? So explain it, I don't mind. If you can explain it, how is it? You know, it goes off a bit, go a bit, I'm thinking Krishna, therefore I'm pure, okay? Why wash your backside after you go to the bathroom? Thinking Krishna. You know, it's like, you know, let's get real. You know, let's get real things. How to go to the temple. Whenever we say this thing, you got to be real to the world. That means how to not go to the temple so much and how to not dress and act like a devotee. It means nothing to do with let's get real in the house. So these are the statements. These are neophyte statements. They're not statements by people who know the science of Krishna consciousness. They're popular, but it's interesting. One time I looked up Vox Populi in the database, database. I think it's 15 hits. He doesn't have a good thing to say about it. Says it's redeemed, Vox Populi. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is quoted as having the same opinion. Just because 1,000 fools say that it's right doesn't make it right. So just because 1,000 devotees have decided that this new agey thing is right doesn't make it right. So what? What's the use of that opinion? It doesn't matter. That's the point. It doesn't matter. So there is a standard. And that standard is set by Krishna. And that standard is set by Krishna because it's the easiest thing to remember him through. Oh, just for interesting, this side note, just on something mentioned foot washing. Came across an Ayurveda the other day. When you wash your feet, it increases the intelligence. So, just a side note. That's the only way I know. There's more, but that's the only way I know. So we see the devotees are, maybe that's why in the early days the devotees are more sharp. They always used to wash their feet. Nowadays they don't bother. Also it's said if you wash your feet after you, you know, do something impure, and if the heel is washed, then Kali can't enter. Otherwise, if you wash your foot and don't wash the heel, then Kali enters your body through the heel. So that you develop that quality. Of course, you could say, you know, go for all this, Vedic mumbo jumbo, you know, all this stuff like that, but somehow we buy a lot of modern mumbo jumbo. You know, like, let's say, well, we gotta fit in, we gotta be normal. But the guys are not in a place where three-piece suits. I have yet to go to a community and seen the devotees walk around in three-piece suits. I don't see it. You know? The sales girl at the store that the devotee goes to looks 10 times better than our devotee lady who walked in there. Who's supposedly fitting in. You know? So it's just like, if we aren't fitting in, we're not doing that very good either. Okay, does that make some sense? So the sannyas is for everybody, but the external form is what is useful today. It's just like this. It's like, say, you have a mango. Your purpose is to offer it to Krishna for his satisfaction, right? That's the right mentality. Other mentalities, I want to eat this mango, but as a devotee, I should offer it to Krishna. Right? That's the neophyte. The karma is, oh, here's a mango, I want to eat it. Does that make sense? Okay, now, if the mango is green, can we make a mango dolce? No. We'll make a chutney out of it. Or we'll make achar out of it. So that's the point, is in any case, one can be sannyas by mentality, but the external goes by what you have. The service you have, the particular body you have, the particular, you know, whatever is the situation of which that is. Just due to, you know, time, the time element. One applies that. Does that make sense? So that's why it's not worried. That's why you see sometimes it means it's different. You'll see brahmacharis who are sannyasis, grihasthas, or vanaprastha sannyasis, or you'll see the opposite. You see a grihastha who's more attached, the brahmacharya is more detached, or, you know, the other way like that, or sannyasi is more attached, grihastha less. You'll see that. Because it's, you have the gross, the form of it, and the duties that go with it, then you have what is the purpose behind that, the metaphysical. If that's in place, at least socially it works nicely. But if the spiritual is there, then it goes into a different realm. That the first generation so far with 5,000 years of the Kali Yuga and so polluted, wouldn't it be that the rules of Varnashram wouldn't so much be applicable to them just because of their inability to follow it, the disqualification? Oh, it would be more difficult. Okay, it would be more difficult to follow than someone who's grown up in it. Okay. So, in one sense, yes, because of habit. Same time as by intelligence, we change. You can change habit, you can develop new habits. So that's why sadhana bhakti, that's an element. But putting that aside, let us say, would anybody have any problem with any manager, administrator, that the prime element within the mundane aspect of their service is they were trying to take care and protect all the devotees under their charge? Would anyone have any, raise your hand if you have a problem with that. This would be, you couldn't handle it. And a first generation definitely couldn't do this, right? It wouldn't be worth working. It's useless to work towards it. They should just exploit and roll it over and do whatever what they want, get what they can out of it while they can until they throw them out, right? So, even if you want to be a carny and be successful as an administrator, you have to do that. The people remember, as you think about it, in your country you come from, and there's a history going back, whatever, you know, a few weeks that your country just got, free lately, or some weeks, or months, or years, or whatever generations, depending upon your country. Now, who are the prominent people seen in the administration, the people remember and glorify? The guy who was a big exploiter and everything like that? Or the one who actually was felt he protected the people, did something for the people, worked for the people, and was on the people's side? Think about it. That's the only one people remember. They don't remember anybody else. I mean, if he's so bad, the other way they remember him because he's so bad. But otherwise, they don't remember him because of that. So that means that somebody could fall apart. This is also a mistake, is that the external form has to look exactly like something else. Like I've heard senior devotees say, I've mentioned this before, unless the business community is based on agriculture, unless the whole Varnashram is based on agriculture, not Varnashram. So this person wouldn't have a clue what Varnashram was if it came up and slapped them in the face. Because a Vaishya is one who creates economics. And trade is one of them. And if you can't farm, which is the best, Krishi Gaurakshya is the best, but if he doesn't have that option, he can take up trading. And if he can't do that, he can take up banking. And banking is just a matter of, interest rates. That's all. And trading is just a matter of getting something for cheaper than what he put in. It's all the same thing. Get something at a lower price. I throw a handful of seeds in the ground and I get baskets full back. That's business. That's economics. So what do I do with cows? I start with two cows and then after some years I have 100. or I start with a handful of seeds and I have baskets full, or I have, you know, one rupee and I sell it and I get 10, or I have 10 rupees and I buy lending and I have 100. It's the same principle. That's economics. So that you're doing that according to the rules set by God, that's a vaishya. You know, it means, and the ideal is on the land. So therefore, it would be the ideal of the form of it. But if not, it folds back. And if nothing else, you have to have Yudhishthira is a king. He has no kingdom. But we don't say when he's out of exile for 12 years that he's not a king. Why? Because he still is protecting the Brahmins that are there. He still has this thing. You know, Duryodhana that gets captured by the Gandharvas, you know, he sends his brothers to release them because he's a family member. That's a king. Because the mentality is there. Though externally, there's nothing. He's living tree bark. You know, where's the fancy unit? Where's it? Nothing. So he's able to do it. So the same way, a business person is able to do it. They have a little something that they can make profit off of. They don't do it. That's business. Brahman, he has a little bit of knowledge, he can teach that, he can utilize that, then it does. So maybe we can't get the full form of it, but that's one, no excuse, and two, it's no reason to say it can't be followed. You start from the essence and work out. If you start from bhakti, why can't we come back into what's the essence of the thing? What's the mentality of it? Right? The Brahman is teaching, learning and teaching. The Kshatriya is protection, the Vaishya is profit, you know, economic development, and the Shudra is assisting someone else. Anybody can do that, and anybody is doing that. No one should fool themselves. They say, oh, we don't follow our ashram as they go out to their job. They're Shudras. Like that. But that's why they don't want to acknowledge it. The reason that our ashram is one of the reasons that it doesn't want to be acknowledged because it would classify a lot of people as shooters by occupation. And they don't want that. They just don't want it. Therefore, that's the reluctance. That's the real reluctance. Because as far as a managerial form, it's perfect. The karmas use it. Not scientifically, but they use it. They know they have their teachers and people are going to educate, and through that they're going to create. They know that they're going to, through their teachers, they're going to create their society, their value system. Right? They know the administrators are going to make and enact the laws and enforce it that, you know, the justice and economic system can function. The business people are going to generate the economics. And everybody else is going to help. They know that. Only we don't know that. And it's all prestige. So, that's the problem. So it's a neophyte mentality. We're working on the mother of God as the most efficient way to organize a society. But we don't want to do it. You know, so you start from the essence, you work out. Those who are born in the society, it's more natural for them. It is their culture. You know, there's a common culture amongst them all. Means they can either be more Krishna conscious or less. Basically, you have two alternatives within second generation. More Krishna conscious, less. But within the first generation, you have more Krishna conscious or what they were before they became involved. And that's coming from a lot of countries, so you have a lot of different mentalities. But the second generation, it doesn't matter what country they're from. Because they're not from that country, they're devotees. They can be born in America, born here, born there. They're all the same. Just whether they want to be more serious or not. But an American devotee, he acts like an American when he's not Krishna conscious. A European acts like a European, an Australian acts like an Australian. They do. Like that. So that's the weakness. So that's why second generation is an advantage. Because then you slimmed it down to, do they want to follow their culture or not? That's all. So it is an advantage, but that is easy, it's natural. But still, even someone's born into a high-grade, devotional, religious family, still they have to be trained to be human. You still have to train a child to, you know, go to the bathroom. and to clean themselves and make themselves tidy and to say yes and no and be respectful and all that, you still have to train. The thing is the first generation just wants that I am what I am and that's it, you know. I heard one devotee say that. He says, I'm like this and Krishna's going to have to accept me the way I am. He's still the way it is. So, you know, it's just false ego. This idea that I'm an adult, so therefore I'm special, and that's the way I am, so I don't want to make any endeavor. But it's worth it. At least just the simple. I mean, that's all. That's there. Brahmacharya studying and learning, absorbing is the most important thing. Grihastha applying what they know is the most important. Vanaprastha is furthering the knowledge, especially on the metaphysical platform, controlling the senses and giving the knowledge, being available for when people want to know something about practical life from them. Sannyas and difference. This is something anybody can do. It's not difficult. So it's applicable to everybody. And these other things is that, or you can take another. If that's, okay, that's too esoteric, and, you know, we're devotees, we chant, we don't care about others. Okay, then take another one. And if you follow this, all social systems are working perfectly. Be humble, be tolerant, respect everybody else, expect no respect for yourself, and as much as possible, try to always be absorbed in the chanting of Krishna. You follow those five, you'll be a perfect Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. You'll be a perfect Brahma Kshatriya Grahastha Vaishya. Because Varnashram is simply trying to invoke those out of you, that's all. But it's doing it from a different approach. You're not accepting it from the approach of bhakti, so then, okay, let's accept it from the approach of social system. It's the same thing. Brahmacharya has to be humble. He has to be tolerant. He has to respect his teachers. Right? He can't expect anything for himself. He's a menial servant. If he's a good brahmacharya, then he goes into grihastha life. He has to be humble. Like that. The man has to be humble. There's no question of it. It means whatever he plans, a woman doesn't do it that way. He has to be tolerant. It's always changing. There's nothing stable. Like that. He has to be respected. He's not respected in the room. She's not respected back. He can't expect anything for himself because whatever activity he performs, the woman may respond and may not. Only when she feels it's come up to the platform of worth it, she does. So it's either he learned it as a brahmacharya under the teacher, under the guru, or he's going to be forced to follow these four by his wife, if he wants to be a successor of Yasa. Same way the wife is there also. She has to be humble to the husband. He has to be tolerant. He's a man. He's not necessarily always sensitive. She has to be respectful, because otherwise he's not going to, no chance he's going to deal back. And she can't expect anything because whatever he can deliver, he delivers. So you're going to be forced anyway to follow these. So this is the fun part, is we're saying, well, maybe I can follow, maybe not. No, you're already forced. It's like saying, well, maybe I'll be under the mold, maybe I won't. No, you're forced. They're running anyway. It's just a matter of whether you're going to connect it to Krishna or not. The modes of nature are going to do it. Right? We're doing anything. I'm waving my hand around. The modes of nature are doing that. But now it's whether I'm doing that for Krishna. And those modes are being used for Krishna now. But the modes are going to do it. At that, it's not a matter of someone else. I wave my hand, that means the air pushed on the muscles. That's because the fire pushed on the air. That's because the thought, the desire is there. Right? So then that's being done by wind. Wind is goodness. So that means then that mode is moving. And then depending upon it, because it's going out and in, then that would be one of the light airs. You know? Like when I did the thing of the dog, like that, that's a different light air. You know, because one expands and contracts. So it's happening anyway. We're using the voice. It's a mundane thing. It's going through the mundane ether. It's going on your mundane ear. Your brain is doing that. Then it's transferred. But because this carries, it's coming from the Bhagavatam through this, and that it carries spiritual potency. So if we want to be an instrument, that's all. But we're forced. So this idea, this false independence by the Western mentality is bogus. everybody sits around in the room and talks so that they feel good that they are independent, but they're not independent, they're still in the box. They're still bound to follow this if they're going to be human. They don't follow, they're not human. If you're not humble, tolerant, respect others, you're not human. You know? You don't learn, teach, you don't protect, you're not human. You know, so they want to make each other feel good that they're not human, so that's fine. But then present it that way. No, we would rather be tribals, that's all the better we can do. No, I gotta be as good as the Brahmin, even though I'm a tribal. And it's my right. Who said? Who said? Vox Populi said. So what? Right? People talk today about Socrates. Can you name one sophist at the time of Socrates that we even know the name, let alone the number? Right? They were into Vox Populi. And he said, no, there's an absolute truth. They lived, he died, so you could say, yes, see, they're the ones that make the world run. They were all the judges and lawyers and, you know, administrators and all that. They were running the real world. Who remembers them? Nobody. Everybody who's done the real philosophy has heard about Socrates. So that's the point. They feel good, it makes them feel good to sit around a room and pontificate and jump up and down and get the bile moving, you know. Great, you know, very good for digestion, lose a few pounds, burn up some calories. But as far as reality goes, Krishna laughs. Krishna laughs. Even the gopis laugh. When the gopis act like boys, and then after they get tired, they laugh. Oh, what girl can do it anyway? The gopis themselves. So, this is what Krishna is. It's Krishna. So if we want to accept that even our social structure, our economics, it's all Krishna. My status inside is Krishna. Okay, I'm Krishna's feet, but I'm Krishna's feet. It's still Krishna's feet. You know, so what's the problem? So it's a very different approach than is being used. It's being used is basically purely mundane. It's neither here nor there. It's neither Western as they use it, because if it was Western, they would look at it, okay, who here has a history of successful management who's ever done anything in their life? They would be on the council. Guaranteed. You wouldn't have someone just because they raised their hand in the council. So according to Karmis, we wouldn't have management like we have. And if we did it according to Varnasha, we wouldn't have it like this. So what is this? And then we're talking real. This is as far as real as you can get. Yeah? Okay. So we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sanavita Bhakta Vinda ki, and the Lord will be with you.
And there was a problem, we always get some kind of disturbance. reasons I have to study, and that I just don't care because I do love where I am. You have to love the things you want. The only one you push is the house and the beginning, but you have to go on the road. Or you know, not to go on the road. It's like small things, but they add up, and by the end of the day, they may make some people's life miserable.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what's your point?
Is it like an offensive to not go to lunch or leave because of the road or
is it offensive to not follow?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes being a little bit, and it doesn't get better.
Okay, is it offensive or not if he doesn't follow Varnashram and therefore is disturbing others? See, the thing is you follow Varnashram or not, as far as the Vaishnava platform, it's not a matter of offense or not. You don't follow Varnashram, it's not an offense. You could say on the platform of the social consideration of the Lord that it's weak. But that, what's an offense is offending others, disturbing others. That whether it's Varnash or not, if you're in the name of Varnash and you're disturbing others, then that also is offensive to devotees. So devotees are more important. That's why it says that Vaishnavas are the topmost Brahmins. They're above Varnashram. It doesn't mean they don't follow it. They're above it. They're not controlled by it. They work with it. Just like the cook is above the cooking utensils and all the paraphernalia, but he uses it. You know? So the end result is these things, but you don't see the pot on the table and the spoon and the fire and the grater and the knife. It's not there. You just see the finished preparations. But he used all the other things. So the same thing, the devotee uses Varnashram as a tool. It's not his focus. It's just, that's the way to do it, so you do it. So what's the big deal? You know, we're not fanatics about it. That's someone gets into that, and that becomes more important than that. So that's Niyamagra. They just overly. And but the other is Niyamagra. They don't understand why. But if I got this new technique, you know, sitting and breathing, it increases your intelligence, I think a lot of people would do it. You know? But if I say, you know, wash your feet after eating and go to the bathroom, then no. But if you say, oh, it increases your intelligence, maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. Because it's a culture. Well, I never did that as a kid. Basically, when devotees don't want to follow Varnashram, what they're saying is, my parents never did that, and my circle of teenage punks that I hung out with never did it. So therefore, I'm not inclined to do it. That's the bottom line. Because what you do from 12 to 18, that mentality and activities, that's what you are the rest of your life. No one should joke themselves. So at best, by their intelligence, they endeavor to change that. It just remains. You know? So that's what they're saying. They will, because of ego, you throw it into the whole social and try to include everybody, because that's the first trip. Oh, everybody does it. Okay, let's look. I got a better name. Listen to names. No, you get one name, generally. Right? A teenager, what do they do? They come out and tell their mother, can I do this? No. Everybody's doing it. Who's that everybody? It's the girl next door. It's one person. That's it. It's not everybody. You know? Somebody comes out, I was thinking this, and I come out and I bump into one of my friends. I was thinking this. Yeah, you know, I was also thinking that. Then, at the meeting, everybody says, It's just a normal adolescent, teenage, punk way of thinking. And because that was cultivated, that's what they're doing. There's no standard. Just because you thought it, it's valuable. It's Protestant. Protestant, because you feel it, it's good. That's religious, you know, so your feelings towards Jesus and God, that's, okay, so that's religious. But that degrades into if it feels good, do it. That's it, finish. So people just don't want to grow up. they think they've grown up. You know, they got a few wrinkles, they got a few growing in green hairs, but the mentality is still the same. So, offending Vaishnavas, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. This thing of the ends justifies the means is bogus. It's demoniac. Krishna said, what means is what ends. Right? Because we see these people use these nasty means, don't let the end they talk about. Right? Yudhishthira used war to get world peace. He got it. Because it was in the method sanctioned by God. And nowadays they say we're doing it, it's not happening. So what offending Vaishnavas never works. And no matter what you say is the reason, it's still offending Vaishnavas. It doesn't matter how you twist it around or not. Constructive criticism is okay, but then you have to be in a position and a forum to use it. But if you're not, it's just criticism. They sound great, but it doesn't fly. It's natural. Much of our society is based on it. You know, one is that no one wants to be wrong, so it's a French political thing. You become better by making the others look worse. Well, I mentioned French because they perfected, they refined it to, you know, politics, you know, because they're known as the best in politics. And because they perfected how to make everybody else mess. Right? So, that's there. That's the politic, the Western politic, right? I mean, anyways, it means everybody does, and that's where it filters down from. Right? English, you know, their throne is actually, they come from over there. Like it or not, that's where they come from. So, and then they go to America, they go to Australia, they set the standards. So they're using this method. Right? So that's one. Then you take, you know, the New York in your face. This movement started in New York. Most all the early preachers are all New Yorkers. So you establish your position by having you're first to point out the criticism. You know. So you're fast one way, you cut out the other person. Then you respect them. So that's the problem. You start from there and you do that for Krishna. And you do all the karmas. And the devotees did it. The karmas are nonsense and this and that and all that. And the devotees were fine. Any devotee was fine. Go do some devotees. It works. Okay. You purify and then it gets purified. But at some point, then it wasn't working on the outside, it's working on the inside. The karmas are great, the other ones we should emulate, the devotees who are on the inside. So then you go back to that, so it's based on criticism. So you have to be good by criticizing the other. It's the natural, it's the default setting. One, general materialist, and two, specifically Westerners. You have to find a fault. You know, it's a specifically first world. They're the most. Second, third, a little bit, because there's the element of the humbleness is there. So, you know, they do respect their mother and they do this, that. So there is kind of a thing that could be wrong. First world, what they feel. So it's, the devotees fall back into that. And so what they're professing is simply what they were before they joined. And they think, no, it's not, I'm more sophisticated, more developed. Just leave the movement, go out and see what you do. In other sense, like a carousel, it's going around. You know, you're moving. As soon as you get off where you're met. You know? You see those high rollers, big, sophisticated when they leave. ordinary Joes, wherever they were when they started. But not one of them went out to something higher. They came in here, went here, went out, they don't. They go back out. So when the devotees fall into these mundane traps, they fall into whatever they were before they became a devotee. But because that's embarrassing, therefore you've got to rationalize it by pulling everybody into it. You have to use this vox populi system to allow everybody to become a participant. But offending devotees doesn't fly no matter who you are. You have to be very careful. Prabhupada gave the most far out thing is if you, even if you need to say something, if you can do it in the form of questions, then you're making your point, but you're not criticizing. He did that, I think, with one of his godfathers one time. He said all kinds of very heavy things because he has questions. Then afterwards he says it's not offensive. You know, as godfather said, you know, is it not the standard that, you know, our spiritual master, you know, wanted us to, you know, cooperate together and do this and that. What you're saying is you're not cooperating. Rather says, you don't cooperate, you don't listen to Bhaktisanga, you're not doing what he said. Wouldn't it be called the true follower would be one who follows the order of the spiritual master? It's a question. You haven't said they are doing it, but you're inferring it. So that's the thing, you can infer, but you don't direct it. Unless they are independent, and then you can say it, but then it has to be for the purpose of protecting them and uplifting them. If it's not, then even that's not proper. So, disturbing devotees because you don't know how to behave. Now, it's another thing you have, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ajatashatru. For him, he has no enemy. But just his existence creates enmity in Duryodhana. That you can't do anything about. You try to reduce it if you know you're being devotional and that disturbed. Let's say you're living in your parents' house and you're chanting and other devotional activities bothers them. Try to do it in such a way that it doesn't. But you can't stop them. But you try your best to, you know, adjust so that they're not disturbed. That's also the way, you know, why the devotees you don't offend. We try not to offend the karmis or even the animals. So, that should be there. You know, so insensitivity, these things, it's just, you know. Western adolescents are insensitive. Maybe adolescents are. It's a new thing. Right before you had teenagers, then they divided teenagers into adolescents. Because they notice the phenomena of this around 12, 13, up to like 15. They don't tune in, they don't notice other people, they're self-centered, they just do what they want. So that phenomena, they categorize as adolescents. Because PPC wasn't there because there was training and standard and they had people who just tell them as soon as they tell them they adjust. But now because there's no training and there's so many that are like that, they get together and create their own thing and that's normal. The social fabric is stuff you don't have to hang, you can do whatever you want. The adults want to do whatever they like, so therefore it filters down, they have to let the kids do whatever they like. If the adults are willing to be controlled, then that means the children will be controlled. Right? It means the children are no different from the adults. That makes sense. So the children are wild, it means the adults are wild. Just, you know, they're not willing to, you know, go out and party and do that every night. They're too tired, so they got too many responsibilities. But if someone was bankrolling them, that's what they need. Because that's the way they were. When they had to take up responsibilities, then they can adjust it, but that's who they are. Otherwise, why are they betting their kids to it? Yeah. The old school is, you're my kid or not. My kid does this. And of course, what they offer them as kid is what is traditional, what works, what's basically the result, it's not their own speculation. it's values that have come down from a religious system, you know, either from, you know, the Vedic or from Judaic or Christian or Muslim, but it's something that's there, it's worked, it's worked for hundreds of years. Problem, they can't explain it, therefore the next generation is the looser, because they're looser, because they're looser. So that's the scenario that we have. So by intelligence, we change it. Insensitivity is lack of intelligence. Not being grateful is lack of intelligence. Gratefulness is the element of intelligence. That's why people nowadays aren't very grateful. They're not very intelligent. Or they are superficially. Thank you so much. Like that. I think that's about half, 3 nanometers thick. Where is the condition that should not have to be confessed? Where or when does it not have to be confessed? Technically speaking, it always has to be addressed until you are liberated. When you're liberated, you don't have to address it. But it's just a matter of the conditioned nature can be purified. It's a misnomer to think that you can change conditioned nature. We hear this said a lot. Oh, you got to change your nature. No, you can't do that. You can purify it. We see it in activity. You never change the nature, you purify it. You engage it. It's just like before, if someone was a manager and they did something wrong, he would put them in a manager position that would keep them more engaged. Because by conditioned nature, they're a manager, and if they manage, then they will advance. Because then they'll be fully absorbed. This modern thing that devotees are using to take them out of management means, what are they going to do? The body, mind, and list can't be engaged in Krishna's service. It's not the solution, it's the modern so-called, you know, New Age solution. But they don't know the science of human psychology. They only talk all psychology and soft speak. They don't know what they're dealing with. Condition, but you can purify it. The problem is, there's no quality that's bad. Like you say, the person is too abrupt. But that's only if it's not done right. If it's done right, people will appreciate it. There's nothing that's very straightforward, very honest, very open. But if it's not, he's abrupt, he's coarse, he's uncultured, you know, boldness. You know, no one minds a person that just kind of comes up to you and, oh, excuse me, and, you know, and this and that, and just immediately establishes a relationship. No one minds. But if they're crass about it, then you do mind. You know, nobody minds a child who, you know, just walks up to you and sits on your lap, hey, hi, you know, like, what's your name? No one minds. That's bold. So that's the thing. No quality is bad, it's whether it's pure or not. That's the thing. You're detached, it's fine. But if you're detached where you're in everybody else's face, and yeah, is that like that, and everybody else is all nonsense, then there's a problem. You're straightforward. Straightforward, there's no one mind, someone's open and straightforward. But if it has issues behind it, roughness to it, it's inexcusable. It's a matter of rules. Yeah. So the point is it needs to be purified. So self-realization, self means, for a reason, it means, atma means the body, it means the mind, it means the senses, it means the soul. So that means you should know who you are on all those platforms. Most important is to understand, I am serving Krishna. That's the most. You know that, the others will come with time if you always stay on that platform. They'll come automatically. But if you, through knowledge, cultivate an understanding of others, it makes it easier. Especially because the tendencies are not always Krishna conscious. So those moments when not Krishna conscious, then they can fall back on understanding the other things. So if you understand, okay, I have this body, right? So it has a few options. It's male or female. It's older, it's younger, like that. You know, it's strong or weak. You know, so it has some things that you know you can do with it. If it's weak, you don't say, no, yes, I want to get out there and do this, you know, physical. No, you can't. Or if you're big and burly and all that, oh, I like to sit in the office all day. That's called laziness. No, you're big, strong, you do something. So if you understand that, you understand your mind. What are your emotional needs? What do you need? Like somebody's married, why are they married? There should be a reason they're married. Anybody else got married? So what? You know, it's just, are we lemmings or what? You know, are we sheep? No. There's a reason. You get married because there's a reason. It's not just lust. It can't be lust. There's any lady to be hostile that stays in bed all day. So it can't be lust because you can't express it all the time. Yeah. So it can't be that. That can be an element, but there's got to be more. Because otherwise, why is there happiness and frustration in married life? Because they're happy when they're getting what they want, they're frustrated when they don't get what they want. So do they know what they want and then? So that they know how to deal with this? No, so they have an answer, they don't know their mind. You know, they don't know their senses. What can they do? What are they good at? You know, somebody can taste something and tell you what spices are in it. Someone else tastes it, you know, can't tell anything. Like a bull, their tongue can't distinguish. You give them straw, you give them grass, you give them, it doesn't matter. Like that. I think the cow can tell the difference, but bulls can't. So it's just, you know, so you know. So therefore, someone who can discriminate, they could then be involved in, you know, something to do with, you know, menus or ways of cooking. Someone who can't shouldn't be saying what should be cooked and what's not. So you should know what you can do and what you can't do. You know, I can tell the steps, I get involved, I can't, I don't. Like, I can act, you know, like that. I have the ability to figure out what things to do in management, because I don't have the, I don't get involved. I may have ideas, but so what? If I can't do it, why should I speak? If I'm asked, I'll give my opinion, but I leave it fully up to others to ask and to get it done. Because I can't do it, so why should I say it? So you know what you can do and not do. So therefore, where you fit in the whole social scene. If you don't know who you are, there's no way you can know who anybody else is. You can't. What you can understand in yourself, you can understand in others. What you can do to develop yourself, you can do to develop others. Okay. Otherwise, you can't do it. You can't change anybody. Right? This do what I say, don't do what I do doesn't work. There's got to be they're willing to do. The Prabhupada mentioned it. The temple president, he's willing to do any service in the temple. He can get anyone in the temple to do to service. But he doesn't like to wash the pots. He'll always be having a problem finding someone to wash the pots. Always, because he himself is not willing to do it. But he's willing to do it, therefore, that for the benefit of the temple, if he spends that 2 hours instead of washing pots doing something else, administration, then more people get benefit. You can get someone else to do the pots, so you get some to it. But if no one's there, you're washing yourself. So you have to know what is your nature, what you can do, and then you situate yourself. So that's the whole thing. If you don't know, it's the Vedic culture is self-realization. That's where you start with the Brahmachari. The Brahmachari has to know who he is. Then he'll be a good Grihastha as part of the community. Then he'll be able to, because he knows who he is, he'll be able to train his family members, his children, he'll be able to act and then and interact with other people. But if you don't know who you are, you can't know who someone else is. If you don't know who someone else is and yourself, you don't have a relationship. Right? You could ask a lot of devotees, sit down and think about it. Do you really have any close friends that you could just trust and like this and that, really intimate? And they'll think for a while, and you might get a no. So they're getting a no. Why? Because they don't know who they are. So therefore they don't live love us. So therefore they don't have a relationship. So even though they're in a society for self-realization, they're not self-realized. Certain aspects, on the spiritual, yes. But technically speaking, our society has no problem with spiritually. Any problem we have in society, not one of them is spiritual. They're all social. Though, because if you say it's social, it looks second rate, so therefore they'll disguise it as spiritual. You know, like Ripley, that's a management thing. The customers don't have full control of the people with them. They don't want the gurus telling them what to do. But they make it into a philosophical thing. You know, a women's issue. That's because the men aren't taken care of. They don't know how to deal as men. So they can't invoke them with the proper womanly response. Right? So therefore, then there's a problem. It's a social problem. The guru believes they're not, that the teachers aren't taking care of them. There's a problem there. You know? Management, the juniors don't want to listen to the seniors, they're independent. So if you look at it, there's no problem, we have no spiritual problems in society. It's perfect. It's been given by the Lord, it's come down from the cross, it's been given to us. It's perfect. But because of the conditioned nature, we're distracted off the spiritual platform of the material. And we refuse to look at that material side from the platform of self-realization. Who am I? No one wants to come back with, I'm a Shudra, or I'm a woman, or I'm a kid. And therefore, I'm in a position where, for a long time, I have to work under someone else. I just don't want it. Shudras want to be independent, women want to be independent, the kids want to be independent, everyone wants to be independent. So, therefore, there's no discipline, so there's no doesn't function. So these are material things, because they're not willing to accept that this is what it is and this is the way it works. You know? It can't get away from it. It just can't change it. You know? The man gets together, like that, it's a cause, this and that, hey, you know, this and that. And then they just stand up, walk out of the room, whatever they're dressed in, and go out and march. Women will get together, yeah, women will like this, that, and before they walk out of the room, they fix their hair, they'll change, do this and that, then go to their battle. They're not going to go as they are. So they can't get away from being women or being men. They can't change it. Can't change it. So, therefore, if you don't want to change the nature, you want to purify it. So the whole thing is what is the best situation to purify my nature as it stands now? Okay? So therefore, let's look at it. By my conditioned nature, I can't accommodate too many rules and regulations. I'm a simple person. I'm a simple guy. So all these things, I can't remember, I got my shoes, I got, you know, I'm walking around that all the time, but I'm, you know, washing this, that, and my, So therefore, at this time, I'll try my best. Okay, when I'm in the temple and everybody else is doing it and the facilities are there, I'll do it. I'm at work, I don't know, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't do it, it's not fair. But what I'll try to do is always be chanting and remembering Krishna. Right? So that's what I can do. I'll start there. And then by chanting, maybe I'll be purified, maybe this will mean something more to me, I'll be able to do. Maybe the blockage why I can't do an act so simple is because of some previous offense, therefore I have this mentality I can't relate to. Okay, but I can't remain impure, so I'll purify myself by engaging in Krishna's service. What I can relate to and do. Okay, the chanting I can relate to, prasad, I like the kirtans, I like associating with devotees, I can handle a meeting like that, okay, I can do that. And chanting, okay, I'm not so bold, so I can chant in the house, I can chant with some known people, I can't chant on the bus going to work. But I could chant on a clicker. Okay, so I'll do that. But if anybody notices a thing, then I'm going to stop. I just can't handle it. Okay, so then you know I can do this much. You know, I have to do this much with my family. I have these attachments. So therefore, I can go this much to the temple. I can spend this much reading. But this is all, you understand what it is. Why do I have this attachment? Because there's a need for that, you know, feeling of being wanted, or feeling that I'm doing something, I'm the head of the family, I'm doing something for them, I'm needed, they need me, I go to work, therefore it has meaning, you know, all that difficulty. You know, that makes me feel good, I'm doing something for somebody. But just to do it just for, you know, the blue whales or save the, you know, Papa, that I can't relate back in. For family members, I can do that for. You know, some close friends, yeah, I can do something for them. And you see, that's where I get my emotional nourishment. So that's why I'm doing it. So since I'm doing it, okay, I try to get my family to chant. Because I'm doing these few things, so I'll try to get them to chant. I'll try to have some kirtan. We do it together. We're all together. You know, if I need, you know, that way there's still the need. But then at the same time, I want them to learn, so then I get them to do it. You know, but if they're not doing it, then I'm going to be the steady factor. You know, so therefore, I'm still that. All those emotional things I need, I'll translate them into Krishna consciousness. I'll do it for Krishna. This is what I can do. Therefore, I don't need to get out and tell other people what to do and this and that, because this is all I can do. But if I meet some other person like this and that, I can tell them what I'm doing. Hey, you know, I'm a simple guy. I go to work and do that. But I worked in the Krishna in my life. It's helped a lot. They can say that. But they don't go to the temple and they got on the temple council and hey, you know, but this, because they know this is all, I can only do this. Leave that for other people. That's self-realization. That's honest. That person will mature and become very, what is it, Jayana. He's respected as one of the, you know, saintly persons of this movement. He was a taxi driver. That's what he did to make his money. He never tried to put himself in something significant. And because he was mature and was Krishna conscious, therefore he left the temple. And he just did the simple things he did. Chant, this, serve, he'd do anything. He'd fix the car, he'd make the rock car, he'd cook, he'd even, you name it, he's doing it. And because he was comfortable with himself that this is what I can do for Krishna, everybody else was comfortable with him. This is one thing. If you wonder why others aren't comfortable with you, because you're not comfortable with yourself. If you're comfortable with yourself, others will be comfortable. If you just accept this is what I am, that's the way it is, whether it's socially wonderful or not, then that's it. You know? Then, you know, as long as it's humble and honest, not that your attitude is like that. So then it works. So he was comfortable that this is what I am. I'm a simple guy. I'm not a big pundit, I'm not a big scholar, you know, I can just do this for Krishna. And everybody, there's nobody I've ever heard that didn't like him, wasn't inspired by him. The intellectuals, the administrator, the business person, blah, 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 it didn't matter. So that's the thing, he was self-realized. That's why he was so special. It wasn't that he was congenial and it was this and that, that I don't have it, so I can't. No, he was self-realized. This doesn't matter. It's not that you have to be a taxi driver and this and that. Or, no, it's whatever you are. If you're comfortable with this is what you are, know its strengths, know its weaknesses, and know, therefore, from that background, how I would deal with others. Okay, he's a taxi driver. He's not telling a person, you know, who's, you know, studies Bhagavatam all day, you know, the technicalities of the Sanskrit. But he may be able to, you know, suggest that possibly the meaning of this verse might have something deeper than just a grammatical interpretation. Because bhakti is that he is mature and deep in. But as far as the externals, that he sticks to something. Does that make some sense? Yeah, if you know yourself, you know how to situate yourself. Though it may or may not be prestigious according to what you want, but you look at it realistically. But dynamism, always improving, always developing, has to be there. Because the weakness is that you know where you are and then you sit back and you don't move forward. No, because the point is we can move forward with whatever we are up to the sannyas platform and go back to Godhead. So whatever the situation we're in, it's dynamic. And because we're doing it for Krishna, then the social body stays alive, it stays dynamic. Otherwise, then it becomes stagnant. Oh, I'm just a Shudra, so therefore, you know, I just do what I do, and I can't get that fire, that roughness and that, and, you know, studying's not really my strong point, and sadhana's not my strong because I'm a Shudra, so therefore, you know that. No, you're doing it for Krishna. Therefore, you do whatever you do for Krishna. You're going to work and you're listening to your boss, because that's the way Krishna says a Shudra should do. So even you being listening to your boss, doing your best at your job, that's what Krishna says you should do. Being nice to the others at your job because they work under your boss, so you're nice to them. You know, your boss has this idea for the company, so that's what your idea, that's what Krishna says you should do. You do that, then all those aspects just take up your whole day of work. You're doing it for Krishna. So therefore, being a Shudra, you can be fully Krishna conscious because you see how it's connected to Krishna. Besides thinking of Krishna chanting his holy name. But you can see that, you know, behaving like this, plus you're humble, you're tolerant, you're respectful, you don't expect respect back. And then devotionally you advance, you know, everything. You've engaged your conditioned nature, you're devotionally advancing. It's perfect. What does it matter? You may do that his whole life. But then at some point, the seekers of maturity, people want to hear from him about Krishna consciousness, but he won't, you know, take on the whole, you know, mood of it. It'll just be something. Bypass.
So it
means you bypass the technicalities of the conditioned nature by surrendering. So if you surrender, then you naturally are going to do what's favorable or not favorable to Krishna. You're going to see Krishna as your protector and maintainer. You're going to be humble, right? You're going to identify as a devotee. So when you do that, then you are going to see what is it I should be doing. So then you don't have to worry about it by coming in from that angle. That's the best angle. The one is, I have this conditioned nature, and I want these things, so therefore I'll do those things, but I'll do them in connection to Krishna. That's the neophyte platform, or the lower platform. The next platform is I have this conditioned nature, so I can engage in Krishna's service. Not that I have any need to gain from it, but I have it. Right? Okay, I'm an administrator. So, I administrate for Krishna. Right? The neophyte is, I have the need to be in a position of authority given by administration, but I'll administrate for Krishna. Next one is, I'm an administrator, so I'll do it for Krishna. The top level is what I mean by bypassing, is I want to serve Krishna, so what can I do for Krishna? I have this body, this mind, and this intelligence, which adds up to an administrator. So I can do administration for Krishna. So it's just a matter of where you started from. Your conditioned nature and me, and then you connect it to Krishna. Or the conditioned nature and Krishna, or Krishna and then back to the conditioned nature. But as long as you're conditioned, you have to engage the conditioned nature. The Uttam doesn't have to bother, because he's engaging his transcendental nature. It means when we say that the Uttama doesn't follow any of the rules and regulations here, that's because when he's not following the rules and regulations here, because he's not here, he's there. And he's following everything over there. The soul will follow religion. It's just a matter of what religion. So they're following Sanatana Dharma here, or they're over here following Sanatana connection with Varanasi. Or they're only following Varanasi. Or they're only following animal instincts, but they will follow nature. You can't. The living being can't function without religion. cats will have claws, climb trees, catch mice, meow, purr. You know, they will. That's their religion. A cat can't function without behaving like that. So a human being is the same. They have a religion. You either follow someone's or you'll make your own up. Right? You'll make it up. It's normal. You know, everybody has the gray zip up, you know, that kind of, what is it, that kind of like, it's a sweatshirt material with a hood on it, and the slip on, you know, shoes with the kind of imitation, you know, pop, 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 with the imitation pop. They all have, that's standard, they all have it. Well, it's practical, that's why it's come around, but it becomes a religion. You wear that as normal. You wear a cheddar, it's okay at the temple, you know, you're kind of being, you know, spiritual, you do an arti. If you wear cheddars when you don't have to do arti, then that's weird. So that means a religion has been established. Otherwise, it's that religion is, I have to be warm. It's cold, I wear something warm. For me, this is convenient because I've always doing the work I do, so that and that guy wears a cheddar, it doesn't matter. That's going to the higher, that's the principle of the religion. But here it gets down to the detail. Therefore, you get, you know, these different lines of your fanatics and your liberals. But actually, what's the principle? They're both missing the point of the principle. You know? So conditioned nature, you have to know what it is, and then whatever is the purest platform you can engage it there, with the idea that as you become purified, you'll improve it. But the nature won't change. As it's pure, it can expand. Duryodhana, I mean, is not, he's a king. There's no question he's not a king. But because of his impurity, therefore he can't be the undisputed emperor of the world. But Yudhishthira, because of his impurity, can. You know, like that. Karna, he's also a king, but his conditioned nature is not to be an emperor. At least not to his manifesto. It's in his attitude. He's too worried about establishing himself. Means he is thinking, I don't have, I want. So that's a lower level. Duryodhana is, I have, but why he should have also. You know, I should have more. I have. But why he's having it. You know? So there's a difference. So it's higher. He's established, he's confident in himself. Right? But, you know, why do the pundits? Why? We're the emperors. We're the gurus. You know? And of the gurus should be me. But he's not, he doesn't lack confidence. There's a lower king. So as the impurity is there, then they get smaller and smaller. As the less is there, the higher and higher they come. Is that why? The Madhyamada comes liberally. This is more pure. Because what he's doing is to please Krishna. He's not doing it to not please Krishna. So the Madhyam is automatically a pure devotee. Neophytes don't accept this point, but it's reality. That's the Shastra. The neophyte is a pure devotional service starts in the Madhyam. So there's three categories of Madhyam. The Madhyamadhikari, the Uttamadhikari, meaning between in the platform of Bhava, and then one on the platform of Prema. So that's like the, you would say, Kanista Madhyam and Uttam within pure devotee. But Madhyam is a pure devotee. And a neophyte, if all they're doing is doing for Krishna, but they're not necessarily so founded in Shastra, but the conviction is, they're also pure devotee. But because of lack of knowledge, sometimes they can be distracted or, you know, from the way, oh, you know, but they're fixed in the devotion of them, but they don't know what to say. Someone said this, what to say. Buddha knows what to say, but sometimes his delivery isn't expert enough, he gets defeated, or sometimes he gets stumped. But it's not a doubt, it's just he didn't know, he didn't think of that technical point. Buddha knows he can't, because they are in Krishna. So everything is Krishna, so there's nothing that anybody can deal with that they can't see. You know? So they're in a different platform. Does that make sense? No, he'll just chant Hare Krishna as his devotional activity. But he's not just chanting Hare Krishna as his full-time activity.
So then later on, there's some of this, social problems. It's like, you know, I don't know about what you mean,
does one have to push oneself? Point is we know what is the standard. And the standard by our method, see this is, because we're following the method of the devotional method, which is the fast path, the quick path. Krishna gives this in Gita. There's the slow path and the fast path. The slow path is you either adjust with the external form of it, or you situate yourself according to the external form that you can do today, and that's it. If you can adjust that later, okay, but generally you won't, because it's a slow path. You'll be doing that for many, many births, and then slowly you'll move up. The fast path starts at the top, so you start from the principle of Krishna consciousness. What is the Krishna conscious element here? Then you move down from there. So then how do I apply that Krishna consciousness in my life? If that's done, it will always be dynamic, because bhakti is dynamic. So if you apply bhakti in your life, it will always be dynamic. Right? You don't have to worry about that. And if you keep in the association with devotees, you're able to work under it. Then you go, even if you can, and just read Prabhupada's books, apply it the best you can understand. Do this, at least you're in the authority of Prabhupada. You know what I'm saying? So you start from the principles, okay, what's the devotional element here? And how much you can accommodate in your life of devotional elements, put it. And as a new one comes up, don't be afraid to think about it. Maybe you can't apply that now, but don't reject it because you don't want to do it. That's foolishness. It's intriguing, it's nice. You maybe don't do it. Okay, now I understood. Okay, you wash your feet because of that, and these are the benefits. Okay, that's good. So, okay, maybe if it's there, I can work it in, but, you know, I can't go into trouble and run away for it. But I understand what it is, so therefore now the people that do it, I don't think are weird. They're being fanatic. Oh, it's okay. Okay, but, and I can do it when it's practical, and when it's practical meaning, when I feel inspired to. That's practical. Practical is what they say. I mean, by washing your feet, you improve your intelligence. That's a practical. That's a very practical thing. So to say it's not practical means practical meaning what gets you an activity that gets you a result in the field that's important to you. That's actually practicality. I have a value. Getting that value is important. The method that gets me that value, that's practical. So I got to be practical so I don't come to the temple, because coming to the temple is not my value. Something else is my value, therefore I don't come to the temple. That because I'm a devotee, then therefore I'm kind of obliged. And actually, if this person needs kirtan or that kind of course, then it is nice, I do like it. So there's somehow that I do find it practical to go. But when it's not the day-to-day, it's not important for me, I don't go. But just to say, oh, it's not practical, meaning it's not practical for me to get in the car. You know, if their kids on the other side of town and in trouble, you know, just tell them, you know, go find a policeman or, you know, call an emergency. You know, but no, you get the car to go across town. So practical has nothing to do with how it's implied. You know, that it's just the shortest way to get something. If it was the simplest way to get something, why would anybody get married? That's the most complex, convoluted thing that there is. So if you want practical, simple life, why would you do that? You know, oh, it's practical, I got a job, I got a good thing, why not have a family? You were a single person, you had a job, you'd have so much money. You wouldn't know what to do with your money. But because you have a family, you have no money, even though you've got work. So when we look at it, if economics is your thing, then why have a family? It's very impractical for economics. You know what I'm saying? So you can take any of these things and twist them around. As it depends on the angle of the perception. So the point is what is the Shastra's perception? You said Shastra. What is their perception on something? That perception is to be taken. If that's taken, then you see, oh, it's okay. What I am here, that standard is there. What's the best way for me to get from here to there? Not like, oh, I'm not there, I can't do it. So that means you don't have the value of these Krishna conscious things. Yes, any devotee, it doesn't matter what position they're in, full time, part time, no time, they'll all say, you know, developing love for Krishna using good. They'll all say that. Because they're devotees. But then you take, okay, then how are you, what are you doing to do that? I can't answer that, but I said, no. We just ask, what are you doing that in your life you are connected to Krishna? You want to please Krishna. So what aspects in your life are you using to please Krishna? You know? You know what I'm saying? You go to work, you do all day, you do this, you get your money. All that time you never thought about Krishna. It's nothing to do with Krishna. But at the end of the week you get your paycheck, you use some of that money for Krishna. Then all that becomes Krishna's. So you have to pick the people. What are you doing to these people? And family coming Krishna conscious. You have a family, so that's important for you, but are you creating a facility that will become Krishna conscious? To some degree or another, anything. Hear something, chant something, taste something. You know? If you are, then all that endeavor and all your interaction is connected. But because you're only conscious of that much, therefore, that's how much consciously you improve. Unconsciously, because it's connected to Krishna, so much is being purified. Unlimited lifetimes is going on. But consciously, that's how much is there. But as you become purified, you're able to become conscious more, because by devotional service, beyond and by God can actually come. So just by always making the fire of devotional service, even if it's just the littlest bit, You'll get a little mountain to catch it and let you go a little bit more, a little bit more. So that's why there's no need that only if they're a full-time temple devotee are they good and everybody else is bad. That was a big mistake. The temple devotees would think like that. No, if anyone's connecting anything to Krishna, that's good. Those who can connect their full day, that's ideal. And if it is the superior position, why aren't they helping the people who are in the inferior position? Rather than just saying, I'm special because they're bad. Right?
I'm getting tired
of that service. It's innocent.
Yeah, so what's the point? Okay, how are we connected to Krishna? He's highly deeply engaged when one's, or here, but like examples, one's getting, you know, he's tired in the service, and he's, so instead, recreation is there, this is what you count as recreation. Krishna says one who is balanced in his eating, sleeping, working, and recreation, he mentions recreation. So recreation just means something that's not having the responsibility of your occupational duty. So the association with the devotees and, you know, stuff like that, taking prasad, going to the temple, chanting, just something that's there, or going swimming, going for a walk, things that are like that. So you have to see what's innocent. You have to see when you say something's innocent, then you have to see innocent means that the samskaras that it establishes are innocent. But you're watching a movie and there's so much sex and violence, those samskaras are not innocent. Maybe you're not affected, you say, but you have to make sure of that. You know? Your Krishna conscious, you can understand what's going on. Okay, so then the guy just blew away the girl. So now explain the Krishna consciousness there. What does Krishna say about blowing away girls with your, you know, your 38 caliber? And then I'm saying that's the same. How is it allowed? Is it good? I mean, did you do it the right way? But somehow or another, maybe she didn't. He came back and killed her. So you didn't do it the right way. So then I'm saying, how is it connected? You know, is it wrong to kill women? Under what condition can women be killed in the Vedic culture? Name it. So then if you name it, then you know is this right or wrong? You know, the guy touched the girl, is that proper? The way he touched her, is that wrong? It looks great on the screen, but I don't know that in real life what happens like that. You know, what is the religion? What is it? What is it? Now, what's going on? Why are they fighting for divorce? Why did they get back together at the end of the movie? Right? That's the whole point. Is it doing something they're not able to work together? They're companions. At the end, they're working together and saving, and it becomes so that they're put together, they don't get divorced. So that means they don't know what to do. So was that bothering them? Oh, You can see here is that because of this, therefore, then this is one of the keys to important married life, that the husband and wife have a common goal and they're working together in some capacity. Okay, maybe she's driving the truck and he's opening the thing. Okay, so what? But we're doing something together. So. Was that God?
I doubt it.
You know. The three brothers are there. The middle brother brings home the girl, like that. The mother's dying in the family. So then he brings the girl home. Immediately she is interested in the younger brother. And the older brother is interested in the girl. He decides to go off to the war. Then the girl asks the younger brother to protect the husband because she's actually got a crush on him. The older brother is looking at that one. So then the middle brother gets killed, but the younger brother, he feels it's his fault he got killed, and that was her husband. So any advances she makes on him, he avoids. The older brother sees where she's unprotected, and the younger brother, that she's interested in, is left because he's gone crazy because he thought it's his fault that his brother died. So after so long, then he says, well, why did you marry me? And then she does marry him, but then after a while, the younger brother comes back, and he's normal now, and then she says, hey, I'll divorce the husband, let's go for it. Like that, says, no, I'm interested in marrying this other girl, you stay with him, you marry him. Then his wife gets killed, and so then she says again, hey, now your wife's dead, now again we can do it. He says, no, you stay with her, she kills herself. Okay, so now what do we learn from this? Right? Chanakya Pandit says a woman is with one man, looking at another, thinking of another. That's what was going on in this movie. Did anybody see that? How it worked, how it functioned? What created the attraction? What did they do? Why did what was going on? Something's going wrong with this woman that ended up like this. They weren't protecting it properly. What's happening? Is that what the devotees are getting from? No. It's just recreation. So therefore, where is the sunspot? Means Krishna is saying that in the Chatur Shloki that the last verse is up to this, meaning seeing Krishna in anything and everywhere, at all times, all places, all circumstances. Up to that, you must be Krishna conscious. Then you'll be with him. So even in your recreation doesn't mean Krishna's not involved. The devotees were going and swimming in the ocean. Prabhupada said, yeah, go play all day because it's Krishna. Krishna says, or Bhajavan is the ocean. So you're playing in Krishna all day. So he was encouraging. And you can appreciate Krishna's power and vastness and this. It's just, you know, the ocean doesn't feel what you want. And there's rules. You deal with the ocean right, you'll do okay. You deal wrong, you're finished. So Krishna sets the rules, we didn't set the rules. You know, we didn't say, okay, I've decided, hey, look at that water out there. Wouldn't it be great if we could ride the waves, you know, and then they go out there and make some adjustment and then the waves are rideable? No. Waves are rideable, that's Krishna's already created it, if you know how to do it. If you don't know, then you drown and end up with a broken neck. You know, so it's just Krishna's made it. So he has his rules, you follow it, it works. You don't follow, it doesn't work. You know, there's nothing. The person who can sit there and ride the wave all the way down is the person who knows the best exactly who he is, who the board is, and who the wave is. And how that, what is the relationship. Therefore, they're in the movie riding from one end of the tunnel and the way to the other. Because they know the signs. So that's why it works. So when we say be real, if you don't know the science, you aren't real. A successful businessman knows the science. He knows his commodities, he knows the consumers, and he knows how to connect them. Therefore it works. It wasn't luck. They projected as luck, and they get the ultimate foolish people to buy their products.
You can be also.
The guy who runs that seminar is no doubt that everybody who comes to a seminar, none of them are going to be successful. He knows that, because if he studies successful people, they're already doing it. The seven habits of successful people. But because the success are all doing it, if you're not doing it, then you're not successful. And if you were able to be successful, you'd be doing it. Someone who is successful and he hears about someone else's technique in those seven things that's better than what he's doing, they like it. But if you don't have it, you don't got it. You know? Nobody is made in anything. They're already there when you were bringing them up. No school of business has ever created a businessman. And you can say this to any businessman, whatever it is. The people who come out of the Harvard School of Business Management are either business people who, for prestige, are going there just for nothing else to do, or they're going to be hired by a businessman. They're all shooters. Unless they're a Brahma who is going in for economics and he's going to become an economic advisor. You know? Or you might get an administrator who's going to know the field so he can get other Vaishyas to do it. But no Vaishya is created out of a business school. It's impossible, because they're either businessmen or not. You can invoke it or not. It's not there. The musicians already know you can invoke it, or they'll develop it on their own. You invoke it, it's quicker, it's more, you know, it's more systematic. They can go deeper. Brahmanas? By occupational nature, you're already one. Devotional, anybody. Devotionally, anybody can be a Brahman. But occupationally, that's already inherently nature there. What they are manifesting, this is something I've seen, other people may or may not have seen, but I've seen it myself. Due to association with modes of nature, even though some may be brahminical by nature, externally it may not always appear that way, because you add more weaknesses. Brahman means goodness. You add some weaknesses, then they drop down. The working of ignorance makes that. Passion of ignorance makes Vaishnava. Passion of goodness makes Kshatriya. Goodness makes Brahma. So many times you see someone come in acting in a certain way, and then by the emotional process, they become purified. The modes go and they move up. Right? When they move up, as they move up, it gets better and better. Not that as they move up, it starts to make trouble. He was a great pot washer, but then as a temple commander, he grinds everyone nuts. That means you should go back to him. He's not a manager of that. So, that is there. So, you will see that happen. That's the, how you can tell that Krishna consciousness works and how spiritual life is actually individual is when people join the temple, every new devotee is the same. They're moving the top. New bhaktas are the same. But as they engage in devotional activity, slowly, slowly their own individuality comes out, because they become very unique individuals. Completely. There's no, you know, as senior, as they become senior, there's no two senior devotees alive. None is totally different, not even close, very different. And that's only because the souls are all, but the impersonalists, they come in, you know, from wherever the backgrounds are, slowly, slowly they make them all the same, like the Buddhists and all that. So it's just natural. So you can purify, that's the whole thing, you purify the imagination and you bring it up. So that's the science, is where they are at today, find that situation in which they can be fully engaged. Then they will come up. That's the perfection. You're trying to do that. Does that make some sense? Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda ki, Samaveda ki.